Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, we are here, dear listeners.
So one of us predicted as prophecy that there would be a certain character in the Sony universe that would come into that universe, particularly related to Venom. I was not that believer. This character that was introduced and teased in the previous Venom 3 trailer, I said they were way too big for Sony. Sony couldn't afford them. And then also the storyline that character gets introduced in, there's no way they could tell that story in just two movies. I'm talking about Noel, the King in Black. Meech, you put me onto that Donny Cates Venom story run. And because of just the greatness of that story, I could not possibly perceive Noel getting introduced into the universe. But as you always said, for the past year or two, it all leads back to Noel. So I'm a clear out, unless you have it. This is the Freak Out Geek Out segment.
Yes, dear listeners, it is your favorite prophet out here, the prophet of Null, for I have returned. I've replaced Cletus Cassidy Carnage. I replaced him as his apostate because that fool decided to say he wants to become a god, so we need to get him out of here. So yes, I've decided to step in, repping the full Venom regalia. In spirit, because Sony needs to give me my money. The fact of the matter is I was predicting it. I was kind of low key not wanting it because of the fact like there was no way that they would have done my boy justice. But here we are. We got Noel, and the best part is that Donny Cates himself said like, "Oh yeah, their depiction of Noel right now is actually kind of hitting." And I'm kind of so the fact that my man's approved it. Right there and then I'm like, okay, we on to something today, boys. It all leads back to Noel. We about to go crazy. And the reason I'm kind of super hyped about it is because of the fact that the Donny Cates run of Venom is, in my opinion, the best Venom run of all time. Cause you have that, it has a mix of everything that I ever wanted. It has that Lovecraftian horror feel. It got some cool Venom shot. It got Ryan Stegman out here venoming everything up. You got Peter Parker actually acting like Peter Parker and not acting like a beta male. And it's funny too, like that. This is actually probably like just a side tangent, is the fact that, man, Peter Parker been doing really well in other people's comics. As soon as he gets to his own, it's either the main Amazing Spider-Man books, like it's absolute garbage. And he acted like a whole beta male there. But in every other person's book, whether it's Daredevil, Venom War, Miles Morales, he acted like himself and how he's supposed to be. Man, that tells you something. That tells you something. But and also the fact that Ultimate Spider-Man is literally outselling the main books. And that tells you something. Follow the money. But yeah, getting sidetracked from greatness. Noel. Yes, he is here. The true Lovecraftian god of darkness. The King in Black. He about to out here running ragged, running roughshod on the entire Sony universe. We will not be seeing anything else afterwards. Once Venom 3 hits, Kraven the Hunter's done for. Let's see, what other project? Morbius 2 is done for. Vulture's return. Yeah, no, that's done for. The only verse that really stands a chance right now is Spider-Man 4. Yeah, Tobey Maguire, I just hope he doesn't touch Tobey or Andrew Garfield. I really hope he doesn't touch either of them, but if he does, then they got their good ending in No Way Home. but RIP to them. So Venom, it's up. I better see the symbol, otherwise we rioting in these streets. So, and also Venom Horse.
Yeah, like the reason I didn't think Noel would get introduced is because he's such a powerful villain. And for like people that are like, oh, who is Noel? It's just like the, you know, villain of the week. Noel would One Piece Thanos. Like Noel would absolutely, Noel by himself beheaded an Eternal. Like he's one of the most
powerful. Celestial,
yes, you're right. He's one of the most powerful beings in the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe. So powerful for the comic book fans that understand this, that Captain Universe had to get involved. And Captain Universe does not get involved unless we're talking about the end of existence. Like, the world could be taken over and it wouldn't matter. The end of existence has to be threatened in order for Captain Universe to step in.
I just want to say, like, Captain Universe did not get involved when Thanos got the Infinity Gauntlet. So,
yeah,
let you know something.
So I was just like, Mies, there's no way they can handle Noel. So I'm interested to see how they're doing it, especially since like this is the last Venom movie. There's no way you can like have a fight with Noel in this movie at all. Like he's nowhere near that level. So I don't know how they're going to introduce it, but I'm here for it.
Or maybe it's just going to be a case, or how I'm thinking of is like, he's going to be there, kind of in the sense of he's going to be like out there on Clintar, no, and he's just sending the acolytes down to take shots at him. And Venom's like, nah, we got to leave. We got to leave now.
It could be like a codex like thing, but obviously we don't need to go too deep into the comic book storyline.
All I'm saying is Venom ain't going to fight Noel directly. There is no way. Because if he does, RIP to that Venom.
Maybe he fights the dragon. But if you're interested in finding out about Noel, we did do not a character study, but a deep dive onto the Venom Donnie Cates Ryan Stegman run. That's, I believe, is in season 2 or season 1. So you can check that out. But for those that are here for Transformers, I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meech Meech presents
the Blur City Podcast.
All right, like I mentioned, so this we had to cover just Noel being introduced into the Sony Spider-Man universe, but this is our movie review for Transformers 1, a movie that we are both excited for, the animated version of Transformers. Recently, I believe it was the 40th year anniversary, the date that this actually dropped the movie for Transformers. So it's this kind of, again, we're in the age of Transformers and just like toys being turned into movies. So, Meech, before we get into it, hit us with that legal spiegel.
All right. The purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised.
All right. So, for related recommendations, well, we can cover that more later, but pre-spoiler chat, I feel like this is a movie, since it's like a prequel that really doesn't, you don't really need anything going into it, I would say.
Yeah, you really don't. It's like all the main players are people like you would recognize already. Like, who doesn't know who Optimus Prime is? And you're going to immediately like recognize him when he's in when he's Orion Pax, a.k.a.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
OG. And the same thing with Megatron and everybody else. Like, you'll know who these people are. So you really don't need anything going into it. I mean, if you want to, you can like watch the other movies, but yeah.
Yeah, you don't really need anything for live action. So that's kind of like the pre-spoiler chat. So I think we can just get into it now. So we will be getting into Transformers 1 spoilers in 3, 2, 1.
All right. So here we are. Firstly, just want to start off with Orion Pax, our favorite miner. Minor as an ER, not OR. Just prefacing that right now before anybody decides to come after Meechatron here. So we got Ryan Pax. He's sneaking into, doing some parkour into an archive area finding some data chips, and he's listening to the creation, story, if you will, the creation of the Matrix of Leadership, and how like there were 13 primes, and they died in this war with these aliens known as the Quintessons, and the Matrix of Leadership, which is kind of like the main beacon of hope on Cybertron, which is the planet that everything takes place on, was lost, and of course, like, people, specifically Sentinel Prime, is trying his best to like go and find the Matrix. Of course, as I said, Orion Pax, he ain't even supposed to be in the archive, so he gets chased off. You see just a cool sequence of him parkouring through everything before eventually getting caught, but then he gets saved at the nick of time by his best friend, D-16. And D-16, like, they sneak aboard. He's a fellow miner. And then they get a message from Sentinel Prime talking about, hey, we went out to the surface world. We still ain't find the Matrix of Leadership. We still fighting the good fight, but it's gonna be a good day. It's gonna be a great day. He has a giant smile on his face that made me go, nah. Immediate, like, red flag, just immediately was like, no, I ain't feeling him. I ain't feeling him at all. And also, which is kind of crazy, considering the fact that Sentinel Prime is a character, like, he go, like, one of two ways.
Yeah.
Like, one of two ways, because in different continuities, like, he's either, like, just a hero character, or the version you get in, get in Dark of the Moon in this movie. So, speaking of that,
Something important, though, is that why they really need the Matrix of Leadership, obviously, because of power, it helps the Energon flow. Just their primary energy source flow throughout the entire planet. So without it, that's why they have miners and Orion Pax, obviously Optimus, and then D-16 Megatron. We will be calling them what their mothers named them before we get into their Christian names later in the movie.
Yep. So of course we go back to them mining. We got Alita One. She's basically their CO in the mining crew, and an accident happens in the mines that wasn't caused by Orion Pax, by the way. But an incident occurred, a mine collapsed, Jazz, you know, who's one of the best Transformers out there. He was the black one in the first movie, who also got
eliminated.
Also got taken out. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, so he was trapped, and Orion and D-16 end up saving him. But because of that, basically Darkwing, who's another op, just straight up op, he's like, hey, Alita One, you fired for breaking protocol, even though it was like Orion's fault. She mad at Orion and all that. And then right afterwards, while everyone's sulking, getting their wounds, we hear about the Iacon 5000, if you want to take over from there.
Yeah, thank you because I was like, what is the name? I know it was like something 5000, but the Iacon 5000, essentially all the Transformers. And something that's important to the movie as well is that the miners don't have cogs in their chests. So essentially the cogs are what helps them transform. It's what gives them the glow up. So a lot of the miners are all like smaller transformer beings, but they aren't quote unquote transformers. They don't have the fresh coat of paint. So with that, Orion Pax, he tricks D-16 into like kind of just like viewing the race from a different location. And then all of a sudden he's like, hey, we're about to join the race too. So throughout that, we kind of see Orion Pax just like being that leader, but kind of just like at the time, since he's not, you know, fully Optimus yet, he's more of just like the annoying person that, hey, we're at the bottom of this caste system. And you're trying to go above your standing in life. You're breaking protocol. So with that, him and D-16 get caught up in the race. They're doing really well. It inspires a lot of the miners to kind of just like watch it, because they're also taking a break from mining at the time due to Sentinel Prime's orders. So with that, they're doing well in the race. You know, they're being wise, smart, having to be creative with that and whatnot. And then they get really close to winning, but then Orion Pax helps D-16 to try to cross the finish line, but then they got essentially ran over by all the Transformers who eventually catch up to them. And with that, so then they are essentially in a waiting bay with that, a medical bay, waiting to probably get demoted. And then so they run into Sentinel Prime. And just like you said, Meech, like when he first popped up, I was like, ooh, I can't say what I want to say, but I was like, man, you have that F-boy energy.
Oh, no. What I knew it was up was like when Arachnid comes in and she's like staring at him with like all eight of her eyes. And he's just like, oh, nah.
Spiders are always evil, but we love Spider-Man. Non-Spider-Man spiders are almost evil, always evil.
All right, then. I was about to fill your lunch.
I had to correct myself. I'm literally wearing the Iron Spider shirt right now. But with that, yeah, then Sentinel Prime comes in. He's like, oh, man, that was so interesting. You gave the miners inspiration. And you could tell something's weird with him because, like, Orion Pax is trying to, like, just say, like, oh, what they can do better. Mega D16 is just, like, so inspired. He's in awe. This is his hero. And he's kind of just like, yeah, man, you guys are great. And he's like, oh, you're not going to get demoted. And they share that awkward laugh. And he never says they're not getting demoted, but he says, hey, come back to my quarters. Y'all can chill out. I really love it. You're an inspiration for the miners to keep working harder. So then with that, they're excited. And then Darkwing, right? That's his name?
Yep.
He comes in. He's like, hey, you scumbags, you low miners, you're going to level 50. So they thought there's only 40 levels, but there ended up being 50 levels. So this is where we meet B. And with that, his job is to essentially watch trash fall out the trash chute, take some stuff out valuable before it burns. And that's what he does his entire time. So with that, they just kind of like introduce each other. B is the fast talking character, which is a nice switch up from like what he used.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Actually is in live action ones where he really can't speak that well, but with that he is obviously losing his mind because he's isolated. And then they end up finding a recording, an SOS beacon from Alpha Trion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just a question I have, is Bumblebee, when did Bumblebee as a character get introduced? Was it around the live action movies? Or because I don't remember the previous versions of him, even though I watched it when I was younger, though.
Oh, no. Nah. Bumblebee was there since day one.
I don't know why I don't remember him like that.
Nah, he was introduced like, again, since day one with everybody else. Like, he's one of the OG members. But he was always like touted as kind of like the small child-esque, like the child amongst like the Autobot adults.
Okay.
So
maybe it's because like when the live action came around, they're like, oh, let's push him forward.
Yeah.
And he just became more prominent. Cause I was like, I know he's like, I don't recall that much, but yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, going from there, they're like, okay, we got to go find the beacon, which potentially has the location of the Matrix of Leadership.
All right. So, and also I do want to like mention one thing. It's about D16. Is the fact that he actually idolizes a certain prime named Megatronus Prime. And if you know your lore, you already like, hey, yo. But it actually gets subverted in this movie a little bit but I'll explain it more like as it happens. So because of that, he actually wears like a decal of like Megatronus Prime's face on his shoulder. So
which looks like the Decepticon symbol.
Exactly. So moving forward, like, yeah, they get the message. So they try to escape and go in. Well, they escape sub-level 50 by going up the trash chute, which I'm like, couldn't be me. And they end up on a transport ship, which is supposed to be unmanned. And that'll take them to the surface world where they'll be able to, you know, follow the tracking beacon. Small snag in the plan is that before the... like the carriage is closed, Alita One gets in there and she notices them right away and is like, she's like, well, time to go snitch.
get my promotion.
Yep, I'm ready to get my promotion, get my get back on these idiots for getting me demoted in the first place. So she's going off to try to get them, but unfortunately she's too late. The train's already moving, and bam, they all stuck on the surface world because of the fact that, like, they're up there. And then the planet itself starts shifting to where, like, metal starts spiking up out the ground. Train gets derailed, and they're just like, they're stuck. They're stuck on the surface world, so they have no choice but to go on the hike. So as they're walking, as all four of them are hitchhiking, they pretty much come across, like, a Quintesson ship. They're like, oh, snap, the Quintessons, they're out here. They nearly get caught. But some ingenious from Orion's like,
Nope. That was scary. That was like a Squid Game.
Yes. Literally that. Literally that sequence. But
R.I.P. Ali.
Man, R.I.P. does go. But yeah, so essentially they're going about because of the fact, like, hey, Orion's like, hey, we can find the Matrix of Leadership out here. DX16's like, man, I really don't want to go. But he's like, hey, what if? And then Orion keeps goading him like, hey, if you find the Matrix of Leadership and bring the Sentinel Prime, man, think about all the promotions you're going to get, big fella. And he's like, I bet I'm in. So eventually they get to where the beacon took them, to the corpses of all of the fallen primes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's like, it's a whole slaughterhouse, and they're seeing everybody. Of course, D16 immediately goes and sees Megatronus's head, and is like, "Dang!" But they find Alpha Trion's body, and it's still filled with it still has his spark. So it's like, "Oh, hold on. What if we gave Alpha Trion a B6, or yeah, B decides to give him some energon to like, hey, here's something to wake him up." And Alpha Trion, of course, wakes up, starts freaking all the way out. He's like, how long have I been out? And he's like, okay, man, they're all dead. And this is all Sentinel fault. And everyone's like, wait, what? He's like, yep, that's when the shoe drops. And that's when the shoe drops for everybody except me, because the red flags is already on fire. At this point, it's like, yeah, Sentinel Prime basically betrayed the entire Primes to the Quintessons in exchange for more power, in exchange for being like, hey, as long as I'm able to rule Cybertron and I supply these Quintessons with just the energon that all of the miners mined, which I'm like, again, pure op activity right there.
Crazy.
And,
go ahead.
Oh, I was about to talk about D16's reaction to all this.
I was just going to say that, like, some big truths that get revealed. One, I don't know what Alpha Trion's power is, but the way he was able to kind of, like, use the dust and stuff to, like, tell the story was very interesting. But just with that, one, he immediately notices that they don't have cogs, and that to him is really weird because he's like, yo, all Transformers are born with cogs. So that's something that he points...
Like, red flag alert!
Something that he points out, one. Then when he shows the story of kind of how it gets revealed, just kind of like how Sentinel Prime was never a prime to start with, and then his op activity, kind of like you mentioned. So with that, so he just kind of like reveals the truth to it and is very shocking to all of the miners at the time with that.
Yeah, and everybody, of course, like they go and then they see it, but then they actually go a little bit upwards and see the actual, like, see it in person where they're like hiding up on a ridge and they all see, like, Sentinel Prime and his troops bending the knee to the Quintessons,
mm-hmm,
and removing all the energon. And they say, like Beast, like B, shocked. Alita, shocked. Orion feel a little hurt and is like, we need to expose them. D16 is pissed.
Yes.
Because of that, like, he's like, my whole life is built on a lie. This man took everything from me, and all I want to do is kill him.
Something that I remember that was really important that I was trying to remember. Sentinel Prime tried to take the leader, the matrix of leadership from one of the primes once he betrayed them. The thing is, the matrix of leadership, like we mentioned, is like Captain Universe. You don't just get to use that power whenever you want to. So Primus, who is their creator and the planet of Cybertron itself, was like, yeah, you ain't getting that matrix of leadership, my friend.
You ain't worthy.
Because it only goes to someone that's worthy. So with that, his whole like thing with him betraying Sentinel Prime, betraying them, is the reason the planet doesn't have Energon. So he is forcing the miners to mine for Energon when they literally had it, but because of his betrayal, they don't have it. So it's kind of just like that Ouroboros where you create it, you're your own worst enemy.
Yep. And also, don't forget, like, when he was basically pressed by the Quintessons, Sentinel Prime's like, all right, we gonna need to work all them cogs to the bone. I mean, work all the miners to the bone. No more shifts, no more breaks. They working back to back. They my slaves out here in this plantation. Oh, wait, hold on. That got crazy for about a few seconds. My bad. But yeah, so Alpha Triumph, of course, they go back. And D16, he's still fuming to the point where his eyes turn from regular yellow, and it starts becoming more orange. It turns orange. And then Alpha Trion's like, hey, I see potential in you all. It's not right for them to have taken y'all's cogs. So I'm bestowing to you my fallen comrades' cogs into your chest. And then they all four of them transform slightly to where they become more recognizable as their form. So Orion Pax, like he looks more like Optimus. He's a lot taller, you know, and he actually has like the things on his side, like the exhaust ports on the side, looking like the Optimus that you know.
And he don't look like rustic, you know.
Yeah, and he don't look like he came straight out of a scrapyard. And Alita One, same thing. B looking more like Bumblebee, and D16 looking he looking very powerful, if you will. Mm. So yeah. And then Alpha Trion's like, hey, you guys need to go. Here's the evidence needed to expose a Sentinel. You got to leave now because they're about to be on their way here. So yeah, they all leave. And then Alpha Trion transforms into a panther and goes to work.
That was dope.
He goes to work on them drones, taking them out. But unfortunately, he gets captured by Arachnid, again, the worst spider, who gets taken out by her and is like, hey, we're bringing them to Alpha Trion. I mean, bringing them to to Sentinel Prime. I was about to say Alpha Prime. I'm like, no, there is no Alpha Prime, and you ain't no Prime here, boy. But yeah, so, and then, of course, the other four, they're running, and they're trying to figure out how to transform while running for their lives. Of course, there'd be scenarios where like, oh, yeah, so Orion, like, he gets his head inside his chest and gets it stuck there. D16 has his leg turned into like a tank wheel, and it's stuck like that. Alita One has like wheels coming out of her back, but like she can't like do anything. And B16 like transforms, is able to transform fully, minus the fact he has no wheels.
That was funny.
Yeah, but then eventually all four of them manage to transform fully into their forms. Optimus Prime Orion Pax as his truck, Alita as a motorcycle, B as a car, and then D16 as a whole tank. And that tank comes with a gun, and he uses it expeditiously. So and from there, we can go and talk about like how they're leading and D16 like D16 and Orion, they're like having the talk. It's like Orion's like, bro, you good? Because you haven't been you've been kind of quiet, my boy, and I ain't like you. It's like, look, I just figured out my whole life was a lie. I just figured out everything. I just want to see this man 6 feet under. I want to see this prime at the heel of my foot right now. He's like, whoa, we just gotta expose him. That's it. It's like, nah, that ain't enough for me. He took everything from me, and I'm about to take everything from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, so D16 fully crashing out before they all get ambushed and taken out, where you can go ahead and take the next part.
Yeah, and I think something important just to kind of point out to people is that it's not necessarily that the miners believed Sentinel Prime was like a good guy and it's like, oh, life sucked because he betrayed us. It's that this entire time that we're seeing them, because they don't have cogs, because it was literally taking out of their chest from birth, they don't have a choice. Like I mentioned, it's a caste system, and like those on the lowest rung don't really have many options in life. That's something that Alita was told at the beginning of the movie when she got fired from her job because she was about to get a promotion. So with that, them not having cogs, them being minors in like the lower class, if you will, of Transformers, they don't get to choose. So with that, D16 saying my life is a lie and that I'm living it, is that I never really had a choice or like autonomy over my life at any point since I came online. So that's kind of like what bred his hatred here at the beginning. So with that, they get captured by the, what's the name of the guard? There's a word before guard.
Oh, the High Guard.
The High Guard. So they get caught by the High Guard, and you'll recognize that a lot of them look like the future Decepticons. So we see, it was so funny seeing Starscream sit on the throne, because I was like, yo, Starscream actually looked pretty big, and he don't look like cowardly like he usually be acting. And he doesn't have like the squeaky voice at the time for now.
Yeah.
And so we also see Shockwave and Soundwave, which were really cool.
Soundwave the goat. I'm just saying that right now. Soundwave the goat.
So with that, we kind of get into, we learn that the High Guard, they used to like follow follow the Primes and protect them until Sentinel's betrayal. So now they're kind of like outlaws, hit and run maneuvers. So it's like, okay, so you four obviously aren't working with Sentinel Prime. Let's try to figure out what we do next. Then we see D16. He's walking away. He's like, yo, I'm not about this hit and run life. I'm about to go to the city capital. I'm about to take out Sentinel Prime. And then Starscream is like, no, you ain't going nowhere, Chief. But it's all about power of one Transformer over another. That's how they rule. So with that, D16 beats the crap out of Starscream, chokes him out. And with that, we start to see his voice start to switch. We see the cannon on his arm, and we're like, oh, this man is tweaking. And then for the first time, we see a flash of his eyes going to the natural red that we recognize with that. So at the time, they start shooting into the sky, which alerts all of the other Transformers, the op ones. So they get taken. A few of the other a few of the other guards, and then also D16 yep. Get taken with that. So then Alita gives Optimus a pep talk the next day. They then encourage the rest of the High Guard, hey, we got to go to the city. In the meantime, Sentinel Prime kills Alpha Cryon, and then also they lose the kind of just the recording from Alpha Cryon that had the truth with that, because they got attacked, and then so it got destroyed. So with that, we also see, you know, this is where D16 is like, yo, I'm standing on business, I will not kneel before you, you liar. And Sentinel Prime is like, yo, life is what you make it, the truth is what I make it. And then with that, he notices the Megatronus decal on him. He's like, oh, you want to wear his face, he's one of the greatest primes that ever lived, that's why I have his cog. So I don't know if that's the part that you wanted to touch on, like lore wise or if you want to get into it later.
All right, well,
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got, from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Kinda. Well, basically what I was going to say is, like, typically when it comes to like Megatronus Prime, he's actually like, well, if you've seen the second Transformers movie, Revenge of the Fallen, Megatronus Prime is the Fallen. So typically he's like one of the biggest main antagonists of like Transformers lore. But in this one, obviously not the case. Like, Megatronus Prime seemed like to be a really good guy who just got betrayed and taken the L. But yeah, so I guess like his role as the Fallen kind of goes to Sentinel right now.
Interesting. So with that, this is a quick diversion. What was the name of the Prime that could fly? That the old one in the second movie, or was it the third movie?
Oh, the second one? That's Jetfire. He's a goat. He typically like Prime second in command in like most continuities.
Jetfire is one of my favorite Transformers. But coming back to the movie, so with that, it's not engraved. What's the word when you burn something into someone?
He brands
Megatronus's face into his chest. So with that, we see the, you know, how the Decepticon symbol comes to be. So he's about to take him out because, again, D16 is like, I am not bowing to you. I'm not kneeling to it. You're not worthy of it. So before he kills him, but then he's not Prime yet. Orion Pax, he convinces the miners, hey, we need you guys. Like, anybody can make a difference. They see him for the first time. And they're like, oh, man, you got that glow up for real with that. So he gives a really incredible speech. And this is the first time where you see the hint of like the speech making Optimus. But Alita earlier, she like gives the hint of like, yo, you have optimism. You have hope. That's what makes you difference, even though I'm better than you. So with that, they crash into the high tower. He realizes that, yo, Arachnid sees everything. We got to go get her. Alita, please don't like completely destroy her. So take her to the central tower. And then, is this a fight scene that we don't need to get too in depth with? So with that, they have the reveal of like previously, like when Sentinel was talking to D16 and all the other captives of the High Guard, of just like essentially revealing that, oh, I'm a traitor.
I'm the ally that y'all never realized.
Yeah. So like I'm essentially making you worship me, and I'm a liar. So with that, all of them see the truth of that. And then so with it, we get into the final, one of the final fight scenes where D16, he's getting more and more powerful, and he's like, hey, I'm gonna take you out. Pulls out the cannon and is like, yo. And then so this is where Orion Pax is like, please don't do this. Yo, you're my friend. We don't have to start this new era in bloodshed. And then so with that, he pushes him away. Then he comes back.
He says one of the hardest lines, like, hey, move before I move you. I'm like, yeah. whoa. He crashing out.
Yeah. So do you want to take it from there?
Oh, yeah. So, of course, as I said, everything's absolute chaos. Pretty much they expose Sentinel Prime, and then Sentinel's like, I bet I'm still gonna kill all y'all, and crashing out. But D16 crashing out even more, and it's like, right, and of course, like Orion trying to stop him, and then he gets pushed out of the way by D16. He's about to shoot Sentinel in the face, but then Orion jumps in the way and like gets a hole blasted through him, just like Toji. He got the full Toji treatment, you know, hole in his chest, left arm treatment. Gone.
Donut Club.
Yep, Donut Club. And he's basically hanging off the lid. D16 grabbed him, was like, why'd you make me do this? And then he goes, you know what? I'm done trying to save you. And then he lets Orion Pax drop to his death. And that's when you know D16 gone at this point. He fully gone, because afterwards he rips Sentinel Prime in half and then takes the Megatronus cog, puts it in his own chest, and fully transforms and rechristens himself Megatron, saying like, listen to me, citizen, listen to me, Transformers, I will lead you. The era of Primes is over, and I'm done listening to the people. And of course, the High Guard, they're like, yeah, let's go, Megatron, and start blowing up everything Sentinel Prime, with Sentinel Prime's face on it, related, causing mass chaos. And then Alita 1 and B16, they're like, okay, we need to go stop this man. And they try 2v1ing Megatron.
Nah,
that didn't work. So while that's happening, Orion Pax, like, he's going deep into the core of Cybertron. Well, Orion Pax's dead body is, and because he's dead. Mm-hmm. And we go there, like, he gets he sees the spirits of all the previous Primes. They're like, hey, we know it's like with your self-sacrifice, like, you are worthy. And with your optimism, you can help lead Cybertron in a new way. And then he's given the matrix of leadership, and he's also rechristened to Optimus Prime. And he shoots back up out of the crater, bam, and just one Dex Megatron in the face is like, I'm back.
Yeah.
And of course, like Megatron, he like, oh, so you were given the matrix of leadership, Prime? And he said that with such venom, is crazy. Yeah. Like, Prime, you know what? I'm going to take that matrix of leadership out your chest and lead Cybertron my way. Mm-hmm. So they get to scrap in because like he's just like, hey, this ain't the way. We're not paving everything with bloodshed. Of course, by this point, Optimus, he got the face mask that everybody, he gets the golden face mask. He's like, all right, let's get to work. And they beating the heck out of each other. Optimus, he finally got his axe hand.
I was waiting for it.
Yep, he finally got his energy axe. He's slicing and dicing. He beating the brakes off of Megatron. Cause like, bro, you cannot touch me.
Yeah, I wasn't even close, to be honest with you.
Yeah, nah, it's like, you can't touch me. I am beating the mess out of, beating the brakes off you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, after Megatron pretty much got his behind whooped, Optimus is like, listen, you my brother, or you were my brother, and I can't have you here in Iacon anymore. You take you and the High Guard, and you're exiled. You're banished from Iacon forever.
Mm.
And Megatron leaves. He's just like, this ain't over, Prime. And then he all High Guard transform and roll out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and that's basically the end of the movie. Like Optimus, he uses the Matrix of Leadership to restart the flow of Energon on Cybertron, and he's like telling like Alita's like, hey, I need you as my second in command, B-16. I mean, not B-16, Bumblebee. I need you around too. I don't know why I keep saying B-6. Oh, because D-6.
I know. It's like, it's absolutely, you can mix it up.
Yeah, but, and then he's like, hey, all of my followers, we're the Autobots now for our autonomy. To the Quintessons, you need to run back because you need to stay away. Otherwise, it's up for y'all.
Yeah, it was interesting, that ending, because the Quintessons were still there. They like never really addressed it, but like at the end, he was like, "If they ever come back, we can settle our differences." So,
yeah, and then like the post credit scene of Megatron, he pretty much rebrands his chest to have the full, you know, Decepticon logo. Rebrands like every single member of the crew. Is like, hey, listen, all the primes, the like the way everything works in the society is wrong. We see through the deception of the
Ooh.
We see through the deception of the Jedi. Oh wait, sorry, wrong franchise. See through the deception of the primes, and we are now the Decepticons.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm glad you told me that, because I left after the mid credits scene. I didn't know there were post credits scene.
Yup.
You always got to check. So yeah, I'm probably going to YouTube that. But yeah, just with that, I think something that was very interesting with their dynamic, with this being like a prequel, you understand that, like, even with the Energon part, where it's like having the Matrix of Leadership helps Energon flow, the fact that in the future their planet gets destroyed, you know, because of the lack of the Energon and everything like that, and then eventually like Megatron's on top. That's really sad, just because, like, you know, they were like truly best friends, and this movie presented them like that. So,
yeah, it's always sad, like, when you're seeing two brothers, especially like brothers in arms, eventually split apart due to different ideologies, and eventually like their conflict leads to, well, destruction.
The end of Woo! But yeah, even with that, I like that you mentioned ideologies. So like a question I have was Megatron right?
I mean, all right, this is me we're talking about here, right? All right, so here's my stance, right? Megatron was right in the sense of like, hey, he's seeing through the lies, and like like, this man lied to us for our entire lives and basically screwed us over from the very beginning, from when we went online, and something needed to change. Now, him crashing out, well, specifically, crashing out against Sentinel Prime, fair. I'll let him crash out against Sentinel. Now, when he started crashing out against everybody else, though, that's when you start losing me. Because in my opinion, I think he's very much Killmonger. Like, if you think about it, he's basically Killmonger, where, he's the Killmonger to Optimus Prime's T'Challa, where it's like, hey, I'm seeing through, like, his reasoning and everything, like, is valid. But him crashing out and what he's doing about it, absolutely wrong.
So why is Aaron right?
Because it's Aaron Yeager, the world. I am a Yeagerist to the day I die. Here's the reason why Aaron Yeager is right, all right? He crashing out because the world, it was not going to change. The world was not going to change. You just need to scrap everything and start back over. The racism was going to persist if even one of them survived. So he needed to get rid of all humanity. And even though he died, it's proven that he was right at the end when the conflict restarted. After everybody else died, conflict went right back to where it was used to. So Aaron was right the whole time. Man.
He should have finished the job. All right. So where do you think the future of the franchise goes with that?
Oh, man. I honestly would like to see, like, more of this. Like, there's a couple ways this can go. And, like, for me, one, I don't know, like, I'm not too sure if this will fully tie into, like, Bumblebee and Transform Rise of the Beast. Mm. Like, that continuity. No, the continuity that's about to cross over with G.I. Joe very soon. So I don't know, like, where, if this movie's kind of serving as a super prequel to that. But in any case, I would love to see a movie that basically does the, like, you play, have you ever, like, played or even seen the games Transformers War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron?
Yes.
I need that.
They need to remaster that.
Yeah, need to remaster those two games or make it into another movie. Like, Transformers War, Transformers Fall.
There's actually a trilogy I was going to put in the recommendations, but it's on Netflix. It's like the War for Cybertron, and then it's like Earthrise was one of them. Let me actually just look it up. Please. Yeah, so it is... Yeah, so it's Transformers War for Cybertron, and like two of the movies came out in 2020 and then one in 2021. So it's Transformers War for Cybertron, there's Siege, there's Earthrise, and then there's Kingdom. And those were really good. And it's essentially like the last days of Cybertron as it falls. Like, it's really good to watch. So that's something that I would recommend. It was on Netflix. I don't know if they took it off, but I think the last time I checked, it was on there.
Okay. Because the only, like, I'm actually going to have that on my list. Because, like,
purely about the fall of Cybertron.
Yeah, because the last, like, Transformers thing I saw was the Prime Wars trilogy on YouTube, where, oh no, it was actually like kind of legit, because it's back, like, it was like, okay, I know, like, one of them was kind of like the, well, basically, like, one of them was basically like a multiverse story where, like, Optimus Prime ended up fighting against Nemesis Prime, aka his evil self from another universe. The Dinobots all combined.
Oh my god.
Into the Megazord. Wait, sorry, wrong franchise again. But the Dinobots all combined. And you're just,
oh,
like,
my gosh. Yo. That's dope. Wait a minute.
Speaking of which, to come back.
Do you know what company owns the Power Ranger toys? It's not Hasbro, right?
It was Hasbro.
Dang, they could have had another crossover.
Wait, hold up. I'm not too sure if they still own the rights now. Let me double check. As of right now, Hasbro currently still owns the rights to Power Rangers.
That's interesting.
So you think what I'm thinking? Power Rangers, Transformers, G.I. Joe?
That's too much, man. That's too much.
Is that what's going to happen to the franchise now? It's going to combine with
Dude, I already thought the G.I. Joe like crossover was already like pushing it, but that's definitely interesting that the ways that they cross paths. So
Technically, it wouldn't be the first time Transformers crossover with a very famous property. I mean, property, because they did crossover with Marvel.
That's fair. That did happen. So just like my last question with this is like, why do you think people love Transformers so much?
I think part of it is because of the fact, well, besides the fact that it's toys as a toy commercial, at the end of the day, but also is the fact like you got such great philosophy in there sometimes, just like as you see, and also Optimus Prime is perhaps one of the greatest leaders in history, to the point where in the movie, like the first Transformers movie, when he died, spoiler alert for like a near 40-year-old movie, when he died, folks was enraged. Folks was crying. There was a case where a kid locked themselves in a closet and wouldn't come out for days. And so, yes, and like Optimus Prime is literally perhaps one of the best speech makers in history alongside Captain America. So, and then also like, hey, some of the villains are like, the villains are very recognizable. Megatron, Starscream, Soundwave the Goat, Shockwave. Come on now. And then, but yeah, it also is the fact like it's interesting seeing like what you consider like inanimate like objects or like inanimate things like robots experiencing like emotions and going through these philosophical issues and war and whatnot, like the same way we humans would.
Yeah. I think what's so interesting, obviously, like you mentioned toys, but like big robots destroying each other, big monsters and kaijus fighting each other. Same thing with like Godzilla and Kong, where it's like our small brains as guys, we love that stuff. But also just like if really thinking about it, you mentioned Optimus and all of that. Just like this particular movie, and it didn't have the limitations that some of the live action movies have, where it's like, oh, we need humans to carry the movie, when it's like these Transformers, like you mentioned, have emotions, they have their own ideals and stuff, they have their own like mindsets. So it's like, it's also like with Godzilla and Kong, like they can't like really talk, and the one time they did talk in the previous ones, people didn't like it. But with this, like, so like the Transformers can carry their entire series in a way. So I think that's one thing that people connect with. So if there's nothing else, we can get into the awards.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Ooh. All right. So for the first award given there today, I have to go with my first award. It's going to be called the Op of the Year Award. Sentinel Prime, get yourself down here, boy. Because if it wasn't for you betraying everybody, for you being a whole beta bot to the Quintessons, you wouldn't have gotten ripped in half by the true OG. So yeah, you messed up all of Cybertron, boy, and you messed it up for years to come. So thank you for that. Op of the year, you got it.
Just stay up here, Sentinel Prime, because the next award you are getting is a new award called Hot Boy Summer. You had like total bro energy into your villainy, so it was like not even teasing that you were a bad guy and just copying everything that Meech mentioned. You were a scumbag galore, and you made your people slaves. So here's this award. Let's boo this man off the stage.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. For my next award, it's the Can't Be Goku, but Vegeta Isn't That Bad. And that award actually goes to my boy, B127, aka Bumblebee, because he was hilarious in this movie for being completely out of his mind. And then when he finally gets his upgrade to be Battletron, he went in with it.
Yes.
The knife blades, and cutting up that entire studio. He's just like, I didn't do that. I was like,
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
but you know what? Hey, you ain't taking L in this movie. You hadn't taken like an L in a fight, so I have to give you your props.
As we know, Vegeta takes many L's. So for the next, my final award, we have the glow up. So this goes to Orion Pax, D16, B, and then Alita, just getting their cogs from Alpha Trion that helped like make them grow, able to fight. And then they also definitely look much, much better than they did as minors. So what you got?
And then my final award is the Crash Out Award. You know who this is going to. D16, Megatron, you just come stay up here, because your Crash Out needs to be studied, because you went from an all-loving guy who may get annoyed by a Ram Pack sometimes to absolutely wanting to murder everybody, wanting to uproot society and lead a whole revolution. And you murdered a bot in cold blood with your bare hands. Not to say that it wasn't justifiable, but everything you did after killing him, the Crash Out was crazy.
Yeah.
Listen, I understand crashing out against Sentinel, that was mandatory, but crashing out against all of society after that? Nah. I can't get behind that. Can't get behind it too much. But yeah, Megatron, you getting the Crash Out Award.
All right, so with that, we can get into our tiers for the movie, going from F to S. So, Meech, if you want to read off the name of the tiers.
All right, so for our name of the tiers, is based upon a... Well, I'm going to just say them and you're going to guess it. For our F tier, we have the Bayformers. For our D tier, we have Energon, Transformers Energon. For our C tier, Transformers Armada. For our B tier, Transformers Prime. For A tier... You have the OG Gen 1, Transformers Generation 1. And for our S tier, the top of the top, we have Till All Are One. So, yes. So, what are you giving this movie?
I have to give it a Transformers Prime, so B tier. I think it's like a perfectly solid movie. Kind of like the definition of a B-level movie, where it's just like... There were moments where it could have probably been elevated with it, but I think just like with it being like an animated movie, you know, being also rated PG, they didn't want to like go to that level in a sense. And then it was just kind of like perfectly formulaic in a sense. So I think it's a B, definitely enjoyable, something you could take your kids to. The theater I went to was like mostly adults, or people around our age. So definitely a movie that I would recommend.
Yeah. I would definitely agree with you. I'd give it a Transformers Prime. Yeah, it was also like very good, serviceable movie. Can be improved in a lot of areas. The cast, they did great. And it was a star-studded cast who voice acted in this movie. Good heavens.
I had to look for Alpha Trion. I was like, I know this voice. And then I saw it was Lawrence Fishburne. And I was like, oh my God.
I'm like, they cooked.
And I was like, I know this Alita person, but I can't remember the name. And then it was like Scarlett Johansson. I was like, dude, they
cooked.
They put out the money for this one.
They cooked. And then Chris Hemsworth, like at the end, started sounding a little bit like Peter Cullen. I'm like, whoa.
It was very close. Yeah.
I was like, I knew it wasn't him.
Mm-hmm.
But he started sounding too much like, I'm like, hold on, what my brain doing right now?
And then Brian Tyree Henry, he's already been doing voice acting in the Spider-Man Spider-Verse series. So, you know, he has like that. So I feel bad for him in the next movie.
Woo! All right. But as it could be approved in some ways, but it's a great, good movie. It's a great serviceable movie. I'll show it to my kids. Like, I'll show it. And also, funny enough, in the movie theater, right? The one I went to, you know, it has like that D-box area where it's like 4D and yeah, like all the chairs move around. So I got a ticket for like a regular seat.
Uh-huh.
But apparently, like, but I ended up sitting in the D-box seat. But nobody came to stop me. So I'm like, well, nobody came to go claim this one. So I guess I'm stuck here. All right.
Oh my gosh. I remember the first time I ever got in one of those. It was when I saw Sonic 2 and I didn't know what it was. I thought the 4D box thing was more about the screen and the viewing experience. So when the seats started moving.
Oh yeah, it was up for you at that point.
It was over.
Yeah, you want to know how I knew I was in the D box seats? because the trailer for Sonic 3 happened.
All right. So with that, we're wrapping up our movie review of Transformers 1. So we're going to do a brief what's hot. So that catches up with movies, TV shows, gaming, everything that's coming out recently. Next week, we're going to go more in depth because we are on the path to the Ascension, October. Just the whole entire fall season is stacked with movies and TV shows and a lot of different things that we will get you up to speed on. There's one thing I need to warn people about, so you have to listen to next week's episode, because in November, guys and girls are going to have to make a choice around Thanksgiving. So we'll go from there. I'm teasing it, but we're going to go from there. All right, so Meech, what you got?
All right, so we're going to start with anime. We have, One Piece thing going. I'm watching Reincarnated as a Slime. We also have, My Hero, The War. War Never Changes. That's all I'm going to say about that. That's all I'm going to say. So moving on from there, we got ourselves like TV shows. So at the time of this recording, the first two episodes of Agatha All Along on Disney Plus dropped. I've only seen the first episode due to like time constraints. But and then The Penguin.
I've heard of The Penguin and it's incredible. I haven't watched it yet. I heard it's incredible.
Oh, so I'm going to have a good time because I haven't seen it yet. Dude, I'll go to it after this recording.
Everything I've seen has been like, yo, The Penguin is like the top tier representation of Gotham or what Gotham should be. Everything I've heard about Penguin is incredible. The only weird thing about Penguin is that I know like it dropped last Thursday, but the actual like release schedule is like on Sundays, I think. Like, I believe the 29th or something is like when it actually like starts airing consecutively. So that's the only thing that's like really weird. But I know the first episode dropped. I'm definitely going to go check it out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I have to. Because that Matt Reeves, the Batman, was crispy. So seeing Colin Farrell get into his penguin bag,
I wonder if they're going to have Commissioner Gordon in there, because he killed it too.
Honestly, they kind of have to. They have, like, listen, this is about the underbelly of Gotham. If Commissioner Gordon don't appear in there once, I'm going to crash out. I'm going to have a D16 level crash. If we do not see Robert Pattinson.
I don't think he'll be in it. I think they're going to save him.
Nah. I think he's going to appear like maybe one time. For like
a silhouette or something like that, you think?
It could be a silhouette. It could be literally just a cameo of just him. And that's all I need. And then, of course, like in terms of comics, the Venom War is happening. I said Peter Parker being done right and everything but his main comic. As I said, the main comic I actually kind of dropped because I'm like, I don't need this anymore. I got Ultimate Spider-Man now. I got the Venom War now. I got Miles Morales, who's crashing out right now because he's a whole vampire. So, Spawn is actually still spawning out here and it's still going. But that's actually all I had about that. And then, of course, in other series, 3-star versus 5-star, I haven't seen the last two episodes. So, don't spoil me at all on that. But yeah, what you got?
Only things that I have, obviously Transformers 1, which we did a movie review of. The Wild Robot is something if you have kids, you just want to chill a weekend to watch. That's like an animated movie that's coming out this week. And then the last thing is that RDC dropped a short film called Imagine That. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard a lot of good stuff about it. So I'm going to check it out sometime today. And that's all I have.
Nice.
So let's get these plugs and get up out of here.
All right, so for our Instagram, X formerly known as Twitter, and Threads, we're on the BlurCity22. Like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date on notifications and our release schedules. We have our Discord linked in the Instagram page where you can join and find community of pure degeneracy. After that, we have our YouTube page and our Patreon under BlurCityPod. If you want to donate some extra cheddar on there, you want to get access to very exclusive episodes never before seen on the podcast. That's just there. Bam. There you go. We also have our email address, blurcity22@gmail.com. That's where you can submit episode suggestions, geek out, freak outs, and everything of the like, as well as comments about our episodes. And if you have any pure criticisms and hate, send them our way too, because it's only going to the spam. It's never seen the light of day. And you just wasted your time, and we just keep on having a fun time. All right. And then finally, I am the Jedi born on Mustafar on Instagram, as well as TikTok, however long we got TikTok left. Be up to date with all the content there. What you got?
For my individual author pages, we have my Instagram. That is at @Metri_dash, @Metri_dash. For my @Twitter, that is @TheMad-16. And then if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, A Most Irregular Tale, that's available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble. And then if you're interested in getting our merch, that is blurredcityapparel.com, and you can check out the link below. All right. So with that, any words of encouragement?
Yeah. Don't be deceived by society. Don't fully give in to like whatever a specific overlord says. Have your own discretion, have your own autonomy, your own free will to do what you need to. And if that involves crashing out, then I'm not going to endorse it, but I ain't going to deny it either. So yeah.
Along those lines, I will just say your path is whatever you make it. So make it something worthwhile. With that, it's not goodbye forever. It's just goodbye for now. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
See ya later.